So this weekend, Dune Part 2 officially hit theaters. It was one of my most anticipated movies of the year, and everyone was praising it as one of the greatest movies they'd ever seen. Does it quite live up to that? Well, you can find out in this review. Dune Part 2 is directed by Denis Villeneuve once again and stars a lot of the same cast as the first movie, including Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, Josh Brolin, Dave Bautista, and Stellan Skarsgård and Charlotte Rampling and Javier Bardem, but also includes a few new cast members, including Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Christopher Walken, and Lea Seydoux. Follow the mythic journey of Paul Atreides as he unites with Chani and the Fremen while on a path of revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. Facing a choice between the love of his life and the fate of the known universe, Paul endeavors to prevent a terrible future only he can foresee. Hello everybody, welcome back to Movie Morning, and today I'm going to be giving you guys my review of Dune Part 2. This was, I believe, on my ranking, my number 2 most anticipated movie of the entire year. I absolutely loved Part 1. It was, I believe, my number 2 favorite movie of that year, coincidentally. But looking back at that list, I honestly would have put it at number 1 if I could go back and change it now. And I saw the re-release again a couple of weeks ago on IMAX. Once again, it was beautiful, and Denis Villeneuve, I think, is one of the absolute best directors working right now with films, spectacular films such as Arrival, Prisoners, Sicario, Blade Runner 2049, and even the first Dune as well. And then going into this, I still have never seen one of his first films in Sandi, and I'm really interested to see that. But I've seen, I believe, all of his movies he made in America, and that as well as Enemy, which isn't, I wouldn't say, as good as those movies, but it is another really solid thriller, and he's a fantastic director. I would probably say he's the second top director in the business right now behind Christopher Nolan, and he has consistently delivered fantastic movie after fantastic movie for basically a decade now, or even more than that, some people would say, and because of that, I knew this movie was going to be amazing, but was it really going to be the sci-fi masterpiece that a lot of people hailed it to be? Well, I'm going to be getting into that and whether I think it is or not right here. And just to get the obvious right out of the way as we start this review, this film on a technical level is absolutely flawless, and it puts a lot of other Hollywood movies, especially released over the last calendar year, to shame because of how good this movie looks and sounds. Firstly, on a cinematography level, this movie is one of the most beautiful looking movies I've ever seen. It's so weird how far I've come with this franchise because I remember when they first released the trailer for the first Dune movie back in September of 2020. One of my complaints was that I felt the look looked too drab compared to how I always envisioned Arrakis when I read the book. And now with Dune Part 2, I don't feel that at all. This is one of the best looking movies I've ever seen. The usage of black and white when we're on Gedi Prime is amazing, and there is actually a story reason for that. The wide shot and combination with the VFX, the transition between 1.43 and 1.90 IMAX, and landscapes that really reflect the emotionality of the scene, as well as also the personality of the characters. Nothing that does that better than the scene with the Harkonnens and the scenes on Gedi Prime, where they just have this eerie element to them, and even the way they shot the black and white scenes using infrared cameras, not converting them in post, is why it looks so good. This really is one of the best-looking movies I've ever seen, and I think Greg Fraser, with a couple more movies that look as good as these two movies, The Batman, Rogue One, I think will be probably hailed as the reigning MVP of DPs making films for Hollywood because he is truly doing outstanding work. Then getting into the score, Hans Zimmer, it's a euphoric score, just like the first movie. I don't think it's quite as innovative as the first movie because of the fact that so much of what he did in that movie I just never ever heard in any movie or any music in my life. This movie builds on that and adds a few really memorable themes, specifically the one with Paul and Chani. I think that's kind of the main theme of this movie, not so much, the Messiah theme or Paul's dream theme from the first film. They kind of change it here, and I loved the way his score evolved. It's still one of his best scores. I still think the first Dune is potentially his best score ever, but this film absolutely does live up to it. The editing for a 2-hour-and-43-minute film, this film flies by. I've heard a couple people say it's as slow as the first movie. It still has that Denis Villeneuve pacing. I actually completely disagree. I think this is honestly his most fast-paced movie. It is one of his longer movies, but I think it goes by so fast, and part of that is to do because of just how immersive the world of Arrakis is and a couple other places we see, like KD Prime. And the sound design is unbelievable. It is, again, it just creates such an immersive feeling for you when you're watching the movie, especially in IMAX. Please go see this film in IMAX. The visual effects are just, again, flawless. The designs, the verisimilitude, one of my favorite words to use, where it actually manages to ground the unbelievable into the world that's created by, again, Denis Villeneuve and his crew, Greg Fraser. It looks incredible. And even some stuff like the Shai Hulud, or more famously known as the Sandworms, it looks like it fits so well into the world. And just the scale of them, and again, the big battles that are at towards the end of this movie, this is what Hollywood VFX should look like. And I think it has to do with all of the returning crew from the first film. They are working at the top of their game, and they are the best in the business. And Denis Villeneuve just put together such a great team of people to make sure his movie sounds and looks as good as it does. And this movie has a lot more action than the first movie. It is a lot better than the first movie when there is. The hand-to-hand fights are great. There's a fight between Fade Rotha and Paul Atreides that sees in the trailers. That's one of the climactic fights in the movie, and it is one of my favorite hand-to-hand fights in any movie in recent memory. I loved it. And the cast, like, this film is impeccably cast pretty much consistently throughout. There's really only one cast member that I maybe had a bit of an issue with, but I'll get into that in my negatives later. Maybe I'll just get into that right here. But I think there's an argument to be made that this might be Timothée Chalamet's best performance in any film so far. Now, I think I've seen most of his work, but maybe not quite all of it. And I didn't know he was capable of doing a lot of what he does in this movie. He commands the screen in a way that I've never seen, especially coming off a movie like Wonka, where you play such a whimsical character. This is so much the opposite. Paul Atreides, from the beginning of this movie all the way to the end, goes through such a journey in terms of his personality, his character, but even Timothée Chalamet's performance has to match that, and he absolutely lives up to that. He's able to do that, and again, how fierce he is, and how, again, powerful, and how commanding he is, I've never seen him play a character this with this much of a screen presence, and again, he just becomes the ultimate BA by the end of this movie. I thought his performance was great. But honestly, the MVP of this movie for me, and I never would have thought this but going in, was Zendaya as Chani. Now, when they casted Zendaya as Chani, I was honestly pretty concerned. I thought it felt like a very studio casting, where it was like, she's popular, we got to cast her in this kind of a more niche sci-fi movie that costs almost $200 million. But honestly, her performance is excellent. And once again, I think there's an argument to me that it's one of her best performances, although I know Euphoria exists. And I just feel like the character, once again, she has so much more of a screen presence than I was expecting, and her role is a lot expanded from the books. She is given an actual character, and I feel like she's almost the character who the audience is rooting for and siding with most of the time, and she's in such an interesting relationship with Paul, where she's obviously drawn to him because of, you know, who he is, but she's really afraid of who he's going to become. And I think that romance is one of the best I've seen in any sci-fi movie recently, because of the conflict she's facing and because of how much time is given to it in the first hour of the movie. And it builds up so well to the where the ending of this movie and the third act is so heartbreaking and so tragic, because the first hour spends so much time on Chani and Paul and kind of Paul learning the ways of the Fremen. And I'll get into that in just a bit of it. But another standout for me with Austin Butler, who's absolutely terrifying as Fade Rotha, or Fade Rotha, as they call him in the movie. I honestly have no idea which one it is. This is, again, I've never seen too much of Austin Butler. I obviously thought he was great in Elvis, but he absolutely disappears into this role. It's not distracting whatsoever. And he, again, commands the screen, and his stunt work and all the choreography he was doing was great. Javier Bardem is so much fun in this movie. He adds a lot of really well-placed, natural humor towards especially the first half of the movie, that were a couple lines that I thought were a little more jokey. This movie has more humor than I think most people are expecting, and I think almost all the time it landed pretty well for me. But I get all across the board, whether you go to Florence Pugh, Rebecca Ferguson, they're all great in this movie too. And there's just something about Denis Villeneuve's style, his pacing. While it's consistent with the first, it is a little quicker here, but it still has that kind of methodical pace that you see in all his movies. Just perfectly captures Frank Herbert's original story, although there are some changes, and I'll get into that later, and the world of Arrakis. And I think, once again, it just does such a good job of taking the book and adapting it to the big screen. Now, this part does make more changes to the source material than part one, but all of the changes, I think, not only make the movie more suited to be a movie, the story more suited to be a movie, but I honestly think make the story better in the sense that they give certain aspects of the story more time, especially again the character of Chani, who is so much more developed in this movie than she was in the books, or the books I haven't read anything past Dune. And nobody in Hollywood is making movies like Denis Villeneuve. And at 2 hours and 46 minutes, this movie, at least for me, flew by. And it just translates the book better than I could have ever, not translate, adapted the book better than I could have ever imagined reading the book. It's a layered, exposition-heavy story with, whether you want to admit it or not, pretty one-dimensional characters. And he turns it into a movie that is so exciting, so epic, and actually has interesting and complex characters, like I just explained. And it spends a lot of time on the Fremen culture, and I absolutely loved the first hour of this movie where it just shows Paul learning the ways of the Fremen, having his first sandworm ride. And those scenes are going, you're going to remember them as some of your favorite movie scenes of the entire year because they're, again, so uniquely captured and it's so immersive and sound amazing and look brilliant. And one aspect of Dune, the original story, that I'm really glad they leaned harder into in this movie that they didn't really do much from the first movie that I feel like really elevated this one above the first movie is they leaned harder into the religious exploration on messianic figures, and specifically the really deep layered exploration into Messiah worship and the effect it has on only the people who are carrying out that worship, but also the individual themselves if they're real. And in this case, Paul Atreides very much is a character. I believe he's like 16 years old at this point in the story, and he's some people in the characters in the movie are literally worshiping him as the soon to be Messiah figure of the Fremen, the Lisan al Gaib. And I feel like that and the way it's explored, and even within the Fremen, how there's people who believe in different things. I love how Denis Villeneuve carries out that really deep, again, very layered exploration and commentary on kind of the religious overtones of the Dune book. Because if anything, Dune is more so a cautionary tale about stories centered on the chosen one and about the moral ambiguity of stories like that, more so than it is about a story of the chosen one actually fulfilling his prophecy and being the ultimate hero. Paul Atreides is not Luke Skywalker, and I'm really glad that Denis Villeneuve doesn't shy away from that and leans hard into a lot of things in this movie that Paul Atreides does that aren't what you'd see a hero like Luke Skywalker do. He isn't as clear of a good guy. He's very much a flawed character. And I love that he leans into that. And also the effect that this kind of Messiah worship has on him as a person. I love that. And that combined with the political intrigue that was set up in the first Dune with the different factions of the Fremen itself, but then we have the Emperor and the Harkonnens and the Atreides, and this movie involves the Great Houses a little more, especially towards the third act. I love the way he brought that all together to create so much tension. And even in scenes where it's really quiet, there's this atmosphere of eeriness to it, and I just loved the way he did that. And the final act of this movie, while I don't think it's perfect, and I'll talk about it in just a couple of minutes, it lands all the emotions I wanted to feel based off what I read in the original Frank Herbert book, like 4 or 5 years ago at this point, when Denis Villeneuve first announced he was making this movie. And it just made me want more based off how it ended. This movie has a very, without saying too much, very much a Two Towers Attack of the Clone style ending. And I know I'm talking about two movies there that have completely opposite tones and quality. But, and I promise you, this movie leans much more into the Two Towers Empire Strikes Back side than, say, something like Attack of the Clones. And it does that, but it's such a layered and emotionally ambiguous and complex ending that really is subversion done right. This is kind of like how people complain about with The Last Jedi, how it took kind of subverted the story set up in part one. This film does do that in the sense that part one, I feel like it's a lot more morally straight. The characters, who you're supposed to root for, is a lot more clear. This film does that. This film doesn't do what you're expecting based off what part one sets up, but all the character arcs are closed well. And again, Paul is particular, and where he and Chani end up and where certain characters end up, I don't want to say too much because, again, massive spoilers. It ends in a way that really just shows the tragedy of this story more so than it is a fulfilling and emotionally kind of exciting ending. And I just love the way that Denis Villeneuve didn't shy away from that, from such a big blockbuster, the movie that a lot of people are going to see and maybe leave a little mad about what plays out. And I think I really love the way he did that. And again, it's just such a heavy final act. And again, it is very dense, and that's one of the issues with it. I'll get into that in just a second. But it leaves you feeling so many conflicting emotions, and it's exactly what he was trying to get across, particularly with, again, the final shot of this movie is very powerful and a very ballsy final shot for a big sci-fi blockbuster like this, but it perfectly, in my opinion, recontextualizes the movie and who you are really supposed to root and look through this story, look at this story through the eyes of. And I thought it was such a brilliant way to end such a big and massive film. And in short, this movie just takes everything I loved about part one and makes almost all of it better. It's a more layered, more complex story. It's darker. It doesn't waste as much time on world building. And I don't not mean to say the first movie wastes time on world building, but it can just go straight to the story. So that's what sticks with you, not necessarily the world building. But like I said at the beginning, this film will give you a cinematic experience unlike anything you'll ever experience in your life, and I don't think you've ever experienced up to this point. And it will sure to be the highlight cinematic experience of 2024, 10 months from now. Like, if 12 months from now, I'm not talking about Dune Part 2 sweeping all the technical Oscars, being the best cinematic experience of 2024, we're legitimately in for one of the best years of movies ever. So if that's the case, then we have a really exciting year to look forward to. But if not, we have this absolutely fantastic film that we just experienced, and I highly recommend you all go see. Now, for the Dune purists out there, there are a couple changes to the story here. They are massive spoilers, and I cannot talk about them, and they are mostly in the back half of the book. A lot of the first half of this film is expanded on based off like lines of dialogue in the first book, and I think that was for the better. But there are actual plot changes in terms of the mechanics for how certain things happen and certain big moments in the story. And there's an element in particular which is completely omitted pretty much from part two that I know is going to annoy a lot of purists. But for me personally, as someone who read the first book and did like it but didn't quite have the impact on me that it had for a lot of other people, I actually think all the changes Villeneuve made fit so much better in the movie. And the really only thing I could complain about is that I think the movie was too short. Now, I fully admit that part of that is me selfishly saying that I love this movie so much and I just wanted more of it. But I just think that it genuinely could have used an extra 15 to 20 minutes. And I think even an extra 10 minutes would have done so much to make this movie, in my opinion, into the sci-fi masterpiece that you're hearing a lot of people saying. Because while I love this movie, I wouldn't personally go as far as to say it's even Villeneuve's best movie, because of the fact that I think in the final act of this movie, and there's so much that happens, and without giving too much context, involving, you know, Paul making very, again, morally ambiguous and decisions that have a lot of impact on a lot of characters, and when there's a big turn in the story, it happens so suddenly, and the siege in the final act and what the Fremen do, again, it just happens so quickly. Even the final battle is rushed through pretty quickly. There's certain storylines like involving Gurney Halleck, played by Josh Brolin, and kind of his rivalry with a particular one of the Harkonnens that feels rushed through and could have given a little more time and just added even more meat to this already very meaty movie. But at this point, it kind of just feels like fluff when you're throwing in these extra storylines without giving them too much. But I genuinely think the film as a whole could have used an extra 20 minutes to kind of let the back half of this movie play out a little more slowly and didn't feel like we were moving at a mile a minute. Because I understand this movie's already 2 hours and 46 minutes and it's the second half of a story, so a lot of studios aren't going to really accept Villeneuve needing an extra half hour. But I really think for the benefit of this film, it really needed an extra 15 minutes. And I think it could have been on that level. Those extra 15 minutes really were, to me, the difference between this film being on the level of something like a Return of the King, like something as it is, and then just being on the level of the first movie. And I think I could have also used a bit more of Princess Irulan, played by Florence Pugh. She is a lot more important to the back half of this movie, not necessarily the book, than she is in even the book. But I feel like with what happens in the final act and how emotionally impactful it is on Paul and Chani, I would have liked to learn a little more about Irulan to get her perspective on this a little more. And I also do think Christopher Walken's Emperor, while I think he did a serviceable job, I just feel like I saw Christopher Walken too much. And I feel like I wish we got a different actor to really embody Emperor Shaddam a little more. And this is funny because when they first casted him, I honestly couldn't tell if it was the most brilliant or worst casting decision I've ever seen. Now having seen the movie, I would say it's honestly neither. He just kind of fits into the role. He does not have a lot of screen time at all. but I still kind of pulled me out whenever he was on screen. But as a whole, if you couldn't tell by this absolutely glowing review, Dune Part 2 is everything I want from movies and sci-fi blockbusters. It is perfect on every technical level. It's got an impeccable cast, directed by one of the best directors making movies right now, and it adapts one of the most complex and layered stories in all of sci-fi, and does it in a way that's accessible, exciting, intriguing. Every single great adjective you could use to describe a fantastic movie, you can use pretty much all of them when it comes to this movie. It flies by for a 2-hour and 46-minute movie, maybe a little too much, and it leans into the religious commentary of the book in a way that I'd never really thought you could do in live action, to create such a layered and complex final act that, again, leaves you with so many mixed emotions in all the right ways. I'm going to give Dune Part 2 an A. And hey, I am not making that a grade that's set in stone. I'm going to go see this movie again whenever I have time in a couple of weeks, and there is a very good chance this movie even increases in enjoyment for me, and it truly becomes one of my favorite sci-fi movies ever. Like, it already is for so many people. I just don't want to take the jump to an A+ yet, because I feel like, again, that one element of this movie, I think needing a little more time, did hold it back from maybe being as impactful as I was hoping it would be moving into the back half of this film. But this movie is an absolute must-see, and it's going to be one that you are going to want to add to your collection at home if you have one. But go see this movie as soon as you can. Go see it on the biggest screen possible. This movie is a must-see, even if this movie isn't necessarily a movie that you'd think would appeal to you. I just feel like, as a film fan, you should support this movie, just to let Hollywood know that we want movies where this much effort was put into making everything as good as it could possibly be. And I really hope this movie succeeds, and I really hope in a couple of years I'm back talking about another Dune movie, and Denis Villeneuve gets to close out what he wants to end as his trilogy. So thank you guys so much for listening, as always. What did you think of Dune Part 2? Make sure to let me know. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts. I'm sure you loved it, but again, if you didn't, tell me, and you can also tell me why. Thank you guys so much for listening, as always. I'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.